I'm Joe Wood, and I believe.
September 19th, 1976, Tehran, Iran. What was, until then, a quiet evening. Authorities start receiving several calls from concerned citizens, reporting a bright light in the sky. The Iranian Air Force dispatches an F-4 fighter jet, but as it nears the object, all of its instruments black out and fail, forcing the pilot to return to base. A second jet takes off, but as it nears the light, the UFO releases a glowing object which the pilot assumes to be a missile. As he prepares to fire back, his equipment also fails, and he's forced to turn back. As he does, he sees the UFO release another glowing object, headed straight to the ground.
Welcome to Alien Nation, the ongoing series about extraterrestrials and UFOs, which asks the question, are we alone? I'll be talking to celebrities and everyday people who also believe and have their own incredible stories to share. We'll talk about well-documented cases, we'll examine the theories and the counter-theories, but mostly we'll just share our own personal experiences together. So get in touch with your own stories. I'll tell you how to do that at the end of the show. Welcome to Alien Nation. Today's show is slightly different. Usually we talk to celebrities who believe in UFOs or have seen one. But today I'm going to talk to someone who's actually had an abduction experience. Welcome, Ted!
Thank you very much.
Before we go into your story, Ted, yeah. I would like to know if before all this, did you ever wonder about aliens or UFOs, or had you experienced anything about UFOs before?
I mean, I've always believed in life outside planet Earth. So if you just look at the size of the universe, the scale of it, and the amount of solar systems and galaxies, I think it's unlikely that Earth is the only planet that has life forms.
Yeah, I mean, I believe that too, definitely. I mean, I met you at a sort of soiree in London, we call it a soiree, and I was fascinated to hear your story. I thought it was brilliant. And I'm so pleased that you could come in and speak with me today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, come on. You got to say it again.
So, I mean, I've told this story hundreds of times. I was about 23, and there was five of us camping in the forest in south of France. Five best friends. At about 9 o'clock in the evening, we all went into the tent, and we'd had no drink, no drugs, nothing at all. And that was a notable thing, because it was someone's birthday and we were kind of saying to ourselves, oh, we're so boring, we're going to bed at 9.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, we went into the tent, all of us in one tent, so there's five of us in one tent, pitch black forest. After a couple of minutes of being in the tent, suddenly we started hearing a weird noise, which it's very hard to describe, but it was like a mechanical, quite rhythmical, hypnotic, almost like thousands of pigs were stampeding, or animals were stampeding, but they would stop and then retract. And it was quite mechanical sound as well. It was a weird one. So it was kind of like...
So nothing like you'd ever heard before.
Nothing like you've ever heard. And it was weird. And at first it was in the distance, and then it came closer, then it retracted. And so that lasted for a few minutes. And we were all just sort of wondering what that was. And as I said, it wasn't a very obnoxious sound. It just kind of started off in the distance and it came... So we listened to that sound for about no more than 5 minutes, let's say, maybe 10.
Did you start to get a bit frightened?
Not at that stage, no. We were just curious. It was just a sound in a dark forest. One of the girls who was in the tent with us at that moment, she dozed off and she woke up and she mumbled, the ship is coming.
How weird.
And we said, what did you say? And she said, oh, I just had a really weird, vivid dream being in like the kitchen on some sort of a boat or a ship or something. So that was that. The mechanical, rhythmical noise stopped. And in total, it was probably 5 or 6 minutes for that noise. And then by the tent, we heard a very, very strange sound, which wasn't music. It was a high-pitched, very weird, very high-pitched sound near the tent. And that sound, and it was a bit, I mean, it was, I'm not going to try and do it now, but it was like, ooh, like really, really high pitched and weird.
Yeah.
That sound lasted for about 2 minutes. And at this stage, we started to get a little bit frightened. We were sort of freaking out a bit, but still not massively, until about 2 minutes later. So that sound stopped. And then above the tent, we felt and we heard an enormous object. So something enormous right directly above our tent. And that was making a sound like a swishing, like that.
Yeah.
Not like a helicopter would be like, buh, 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 buh.
Yeah.
You know, imagine you're in a tent with a helicopter above you. You'd feel this enormous thing. We felt this enormous thing over the tent.
Mm. Was the tent vibrating or anything like that?
No, so not that I recall. No.
Oh, how bizarre.
And at that moment, that's when I really understood that something was happening, and I felt terrified. Genuinely terrified, and looked at my friend Peter. We both looked at each other like, fuck, this is not
normal.
And literally jumped up at this point, dashed out of the tent, and it was as if we blinked and looked around, and it was dawn, and the birds were tweeting, and there was absolutely nothing going on in the forest, and we looked at each other so confused. And I looked at my watch and it was 5 a.m., like quarter to five. And I told Peter, I said, you know, it's quarter to five. And we were blown away. We said, it's impossible. We weren't listening to those noises from 9 p.m. till 5 a.m.,
yeah.
Not sleeping, all five of us. At maximum, those noises lasted in total, all three of them, for about 15, 20 minutes. So we completely lost 8 hours, gone. And as I said, and I really can confirm, there was no alcohol, no drugs. You know, everyone laughs and says, oh, how are the mushrooms? It wasn't like that. It was a genuine five of us had this exact same experience. What struck me, which I was saying to you earlier, was the feeling of real kind of disorientation and confusion, but also serenity. So, I mean, considering that we just lost 8 hours and no one knew what the fuck was going on.
You weren't
we
worried
were calm.
About
no, I wouldn't say we weren't worried. We were just calm.
Yeah.
We went back into the tent to tell the other three. I said, guys, you won't believe it's 5 a.m. And what the fuck? So we just kind of looked at each other and said, okay, we should probably just leave. And we packed our stuff and drove away. And that was it. So what I feel most likely, I mean, look, who knows what it was, but it feels like it was an alien abduction.
Yeah.
Just given the noises, given the objects above the tent.
And the loss of time, because...
The loss of time is a significant thing.
Yeah, whenever I've read or seen anything about abduction,
yeah.
There's always that 1 minute you remember something and the next minute you come to and you've lost hours. Some people lose days.
Yeah, that time loss, you're quite right, because I've looked into it as well. That time loss is quite a common theme amongst abduction experiences.
So the people in the tent,
yep.
Do you think they experienced exactly the same as what you did?
Yep.
They lost that time as well?
Yes, we all did. We all had the exact same experience. The only difference is me and Peter were the ones who jumped out of the tent. Now, I mean, again, I'm sort of kind of imagining, but it could have been that as Peter and I jumped out of the tent, we were taken and then just returned in a second that was actually 8 hours, for example. But we all lost time together. As I said, no one had gone to sleep, but for the girl at the very beginning who dozed off and then kind of came to. It is impossible that we were in the tent for 8 hours listening to these crazy noises. We were in there for 20 to 30 minutes before we jumped out and all kicked off.
So did you all talk about it as you drove off?
Well, yeah, here's the thing. So, and again, it's quite weird. So this serenity, considering what happened, we were all so calm. But that's not to say, you know, we did leave. So we were scared. I mean, we were shit scared. But the weirdest thing is that it hasn't been like a huge fucking thing in our lives. Like, everyone's just sort of moved on. And funnily enough, I've told this story so many hundreds of times to friends and people. And in the end, I thought, maybe I've made this up myself. And about a year ago, I saw one of the friends who I've kind of lost touch with, a few of them, but saw him. And I described it the same way. I said, did this really happen? Did exactly what I've just described? And he said, yeah, that's exactly what happened. But again, none of us are like freaking out. And
it's not affected your life that you can't go on because you've been traumatized.
Well, who knows? I mean, who knows why I feel that way? No, I'm kidding. But as I said to you before, I did try some hypnosis, some regression.
Yeah.
To try and figure out what happens during those 8 hours, and we couldn't get there. So, I mean, it was a scary experience trying to get there through regression, but we didn't manage to get there. But, I mean, I would say I'm very confident that we were abducted by aliens.
Yeah, I think it sounds like you were.
Sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it happens so often. I don't think we really realise how often it happens, but for all five of you to be abducted at the same time, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
You told me something that night. You said that they had put the people back in the tent the wrong way.
Yeah, sorry, that was one last detail. So when me and Peter went back in the tent to report back that it was 5 a.m. and what the fuck, we sat down back in our relative positions, all of us in a tent, kind of side by side, and we noticed that we were all in the same relative positions, but instead of our feet being at the door, which is conventional in a tent for the mud, we were all in the same positions, but our heads were all at the door. So it feels like maybe if we were taken...
They put you back
put
the
us
wrong
back,
way.
But just put us back by accident the wrong way around or something. But it's significant because no one sleeps with their head at the door of a tent.
Isn't that fantastic?
So that was just a weird little detail, yeah.
I think that's fascinating.
And we got back to my friend's house. She has a house in France, Elizabeth. And we made some calls as well that morning to the Coast Guards, to the police, to see if there was anything weird in the forest. You know, we thought of all things, some military training exercises, but none of it would make any sense.
Yeah, none of that would have happened with military, would it?
Yeah.
You'd have known a helicopter or...
Yeah. So, I mean, it was a really, really weird one.
So, and it stayed with you and you've not forgotten anything
Not
about,
one detail.
Not one detail. It's all there.
All there.
Yes. I am so convinced that you were abducted.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing that you couldn't go through the past life.
The regression
the
stuff.
The regression thing.
Yeah.
But I think I would be a bit scared, actually, just to sort of
because you can't unsee that. If I saw some stuff, and I mean, we only did one regression session, and then I kind of thought, you know what, I don't really want to...
Yeah, maybe you wouldn't want to see what they were doing to you.
Oh, God, don't. I mean, it's so fucked up to think about, but it's definitely part of me. And so to that extent, it has shaped my life, who I am.
Do you think it's made you feel any different?
Well, I already did, and I perhaps more so after that, had a huge appreciation of the vastness and complexity of the universe, and I find that stuff fascinating, and more so than ever.
So with that missing 8 hours, do you ever get anything like, you know, when you're a kid and you have a memory and it's like a postcard flash of something that happened, or it's just a flash of a memory? Do you get anything like that?
Nothing at all within the 8 hour period.
Nothing.
No.
Yeah.
But I definitely, and I mean, I don't have the best memory, but I definitely can remember everything I've said in detail, and I remember
right
the feeling.
Right up to that point where you don't remember, then
right
again,
up to the point when we jumped out of the tent, and it really did feel like, I mean, look, it felt like an acid trip, I'll be honest. It felt like we just blinked and none of that had happened, and we just didn't know where we were. Well, sorry, we knew where we were. We didn't know how it was dawn. We didn't know where things had been. It was just the weirdest feeling in the world. There is one more thing. Peter, when we dashed out of the tent, Peter saw, but I didn't see, but he saw a flash, a beam of light somewhere in the forest nearby. He saw a light beam, and I didn't see that. He describes it as a flash or a beam or something.
Yeah.
But I didn't see that.
Yeah, because that 8 hours, I mean, it's a long time to remember just being outside the tent and then waking up and suddenly turning round and it's like 4:45.
Yeah.
Definitely something sort of, you lost those 8 hours. That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And how was the girl in it all? How was she?
This is it. I mean, all of us.
Because she had that dream. Sort of went into a sort of weird dream. That's interesting.
That's interesting. But again, one of the interesting things is that after the event, none of us really debated it to death. None of us really, like...
It's beyond, just like beyond an make, acceptance.
Yeah, it was like this weird acceptance. I think now, if I look back, I'm like, surely we were, like, freaking out. Surely we would have spoken about it for weeks, months, years. Not at all. We made those calls to the Coast Guards and the French authorities, and then we just kind of moved on.
It's like you were given some sort of calming pill.
I swear, yeah, because otherwise you'd freak out from that. Yeah. And we were just, and like I said, the feeling I remember is serenity. We were serene and we were disorientated.
It's like that very first abduction, Betty and Barney from wherever they were in America. And it wasn't until she kept having dreams, they kept dreaming.
Yeah.
And then she had hypnosis. I mean, and that's before anybody was even talking about how they take the sperm out and they do this and they do this, that and the other. That was completely new.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who knows? Maybe they took your sperm. Little alien tits.
No, it did occur to me, obviously.
Yeah. My goodness, there might be some little babies up there that are half alien and half you.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Are you fascinated with things like the Nazca lines? And I have great fascination with it all. I'm dying to go over to Peru and see all that stuff over there that they've got.
No, I am fascinated by all that stuff.
Yeah.
I haven't looked into it as much as I probably should have. I mean, and it's only actually been in recent years that I started to get a bit more interested in what had happened. But, you know, I've researched a fair amount about other abduction experiences. As I mentioned, there's a lot of time loss elements in so many accounts.
Yeah.
But I haven't really done much more. The universe is so vast and, you know, there's got to be different life forms. It doesn't surprise me. I mean, that's why I said I'm very confident that it was an abduction, because it doesn't actually surprise me that much.
Yeah, I think that there are so many different extraterrestrials out there, and I think they're so way beyond us that it's easy for them to do things like a little abduction here, a bit here, a bit here. They're not going to be like we imagine, that we're sort of walking looking like a little green guy and grey guy or whatever. I think they are so beyond. They could be millions of years ahead of us. So what they do is they have such great technology, they can do
There's a really good documentary called The Unacknowledged.
I don't
know if you've heard of it or seen it.
No.
It's quite a high-budget documentary with some very prominent figures, such as the ex-CIA director, even JFK himself, all of them absolutely confirming the existence of extraterrestrials. And The Unacknowledged is a really good documentary that explains or suggests why there's been like a cover-up on it and all this sorts of stuff, and Roswell and the whole thing.
Yeah, I think the people of Earth, I think they aren't ready. I think we're getting ready for an absolute admittance of it, you know, by the powers that be. But I think we are all beginning to accept, of course, there are civilizations out there that have been going millions of years and their technology is way beyond. Because slowly and gradually, like I think it's 60% of people now believe in extraterrestrials, where maybe 20 years ago, not that many people did.
Well, it's a very controversial thing because it goes to the heart of society, it goes to the heart of religion.
Yeah.
I mean, in the 16th century monk Bruno. Bruno was one of the monks who kind of looked up into the universe and established that, or theorised that it was infinite and that the Earth wasn't stationary, it was actually moving around the sun along with the other planets. So Bruno was essentially abused by the church and eventually killed for his beliefs. And it was only 10 years later that the telescope was invented and they realised that Bruno was right. So the church and all these establishments,
they do not want...
Well, it certainly undermines the credibility of religion, for example, if there are extraterrestrials, which religion is governing them, and how can God be the all-creator of everything if there's aliens? So it's a very, very sore,
religion,
sore spot.
Religion is a way to keep people in check.
Yep.
Control.
Absolutely.
So by not having that control and everybody believing in aliens, well, people aren't religious like they were anymore anyway. I think that's why more and more of us believe in aliens. Like me, for instance. I am one.
Well, I mean, there's a theory that life on Earth actually came from the cosmos. It came from the universe. Yeah, I mean, because otherwise, how was it created? I mean, Earth was created as a result of collisions of asteroids billions of years ago.
Yeah.
And then it was colliding with the moon, and then the Earth was formed, and then life somehow formed on Earth sometime later.
I truly believe that this Earth was planted by an extraterrestrials, and it was designed, and as beings we were designed. I mean, I don't believe in Darwin's theory, and I said that not so long ago, and I got abuse on Twitter, but I thought, oh, you can believe what you want, I'll believe what I want. And because my brother always used to say from when I was a kid, if we came from monkeys, why are there still monkeys? And I used to think, what's he talking about? They would have not been around if we all came from monkeys. But I do believe we had our DNA upgraded, you could say.
There's no doubt. I mean, there's so many theories and they're all credible and they're all plausible because, I mean, once again, I know I keep saying this, but the vastness of the universe is
so huge.
So again, I mean, so Bruno said something interesting at the time. The way that he theorized infinity of the universe was as follows. He said that if you were to take an arrow, like a bow and arrow, and shoot it up into the sky, let's say, and imagine that arrow could just continue, only two things could ever happen to that arrow. The first would be it would either eventually hit something and stop, i.e. the edge.
Yeah.
But that would necessarily imply that there's something on the other side of an edge.
Yeah.
Right? Or it would go on forever. Either way, it implies that the universe is infinite. Because if there is something out there that's going to stop that arrow, there's got to be something on the other side of it.
There's something on the other
side. So that's infinity.
Yeah, I remember thinking...
And it will go on forever that way.
Yeah, I remember thinking as a kid, if you fell off the earth and just kept going down and down and down and down and down, surely you would get to the bottom. But if you got to the bottom, what would be below the bottom? You know, so it's...
That is the same thought,
it just makes your mind go insane. So we haven't got a mind big enough
to... We can't comprehend it. I mean... Look, a light year. I mean, you're familiar, obviously, with the term light year.
Yeah.
And a light year is a measure of distance, and it's the distance that a single beam of light would travel if it was going in a straight line for 1 year.
Yeah.
That distance is huge. It's 6 trillion miles. That's one light year, is the distance a beam of light would go if it was going in a straight line for 1 year. Stars, on average, are maybe 100 to 200 light years away from Earth. That means that they are the distance that a single beam of light would travel for 200 years, let's say. That's how far some of the stars are. But that's nothing, because there's some galaxies out there which are a couple of billion light years from Earth.
Yeah.
So let me just repeat that. Billion light years.
Billion.
It's inconceivable how big this thing is.
and that's why you know that if a civilization out there has been going and has the technology to move through space at incredible speeds, they can do anything they want.
Well, in the Unacknowledged, the documentary I mentioned, they say, and again, it's you should watch it, you'd love it, by the way. It's really well informed. And they say that aliens became particularly interested in Earth, and there was numerous sightings at around the time that we figured out how to split the atom, i.e. atom,
really?
Bombs, nuclear, because obviously those have the potential to impact not just the Earth, but the universe.
Yeah,
and they said something really interesting. They've apparently tried to fire off nuclear missiles into space. And you know what's happened to them? They've vanished. They've gone off the radar. No one can find them. They've tried this several times.
Really?
Yeah, so apparently all of the alien sightings, a lot of them are clustered around nuclear facilities, which is a weird one. And they say that the aliens are concerned about our ability to split the atom and to start fucking with physics, right? I mean, that could have universal impacts.
I read somewhere or heard somewhere that... when they were about to press the button to set off a nuclear bomb, everything cut out. Everything cut out. And
really?
They couldn't get it going again. And then it didn't happen.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds similar, I mean, and it makes sense. Now, the documentary goes on to suggest that the reason for the cover-up is the good old reasons of oil exploitation and stuff like that. And what they say is that we have got alien spacecrafts, which is very, very advanced technology. So Roswell, for example, we've got that.
Yeah.
And we understand how to power machinery and spaceships and whatever else through the air itself. So in essence, the technology that these spaceships are using, they say, are so advanced that they're using the massive power within the universe itself, so they don't actually need oil and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I saw a picture of something that looked like, it was a little bit of film, looked like a huge something which would have been massive, go right near the sun and draw the sun flames into it.
Wow.
I don't know where I saw that, but I did. I thought it was great. That's been brilliant talking to you,
Thank you
Ted.
Very much.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, let's go looking for aliens. Let's be abducted.
Well, yeah, let's open our minds. Let's realise that anything is possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Ted, you're brilliant. Thank you. I love your story.
Thank you very much.
That's our show for today. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please rate us on whatever platform you get your podcast from. It helps people like you find us. Today's show was produced by Mike Hansen for Pod People Productions. Associate producer Colette Cooper, and recorded at Hackenbacher Studios by Jamie Allen. Theme music by Mike Hansen and Jamie Allen. Special thanks to Nigel Heath. And our narrator, Mike Hansen Sr. If you want to share your stories, we'd love to hear from you. Just email info@podpeopleproductions.co.uk. Subject matter, Alien Nation. Beam me up next time. I'm Joe Wood. And I believe.